As I was preparing for today, unlike last week, where it was pure obedience to turn up, and it was trust in his capacity over my, his invitation over my capacity. Last week I couldn't hear Trav sitting next to me or anyone else. I felt like my words were falling on the ground in front of me. When I left here, jumped in the car, burst into tears and went, well, that was crap. And then through the week I've heard that it helped some people, touch some hearts. It's so weird that our own perception and can be so distorted. But it is. I was so glad when Di got up, knew how to go, knew where to go, and it was an example of the kingdom partnership, because I'm sitting there praying, Lord, what do I do now? I can't hear you, I can't hear anything. And Di just stands up and took it, and I was so grateful for that partnership, and that, you know, Jesus sent us out two by two. So I had Trav next to me, Di came up at the end, and it was really significant. So it's just an act of obedience and worship, because obedience is the greatest form of worship. So to simply show up, that's the kingdom of God. We step up and he meets us. So now I'm stepping up again this morning. You'll be sick of me. And by faith, sharing some words that I got this week from the Lord. I'm still blocked in this ear, still can't hear out of this side, but this side is opening. I had prayer yesterday. I was speaking at a conference yesterday, Supernatural and Arts Conference with Rhoma Waterman. And it opened and then it closed and then it opened and then it closed and then it opened. So I know that there's something going on. It'll be really interesting tomorrow. I reckon it'll be open this afternoon. So Gail, can you stand up? I was waiting on the Lord this week. I decided last week I shared story and Trav shared story, and this week I'm like, Lord, what? And he said, tell them my story for them. And I'm like, oh, okay. So he's given me some prophetic words I'm just going to deliver to you. It's on the tape so you can get it later. But when I was praying, preparing for today, your face came across my screen. I see people like movies, and I see Bible stories like movies. So it's, yeah, that's just how it is. And Gail, the Lord showed me that in his eyes you were like an iris, not the eye iris, the flower. A white iris, pure and unique. Ooh. He took me to research the iris. And in the ancient days of Greece, it was known as the bridge between heaven and earth. And he said that you were like that. He said he's called you and appointed you and skilled you to be his bridge between heaven and earth. Your heart is secure and positioned in heaven, and your hands reach out into all the earth. And you minister hope and healing and his love, and you're unique, and he's especially fond of you. Keep nurturing your heart and guard your time, is what he said. Guard your time so you can keep your head and your heart in the heaven, in the heavenly realms, and when the work of your hands will not drain you. So that's a godly strategy. Okay, guard your time. And they will not, the work of your hands won't drain you, because there'll be a constant flow through you, not just out of you. You're a tall white iris and of great treasure in the garden he wanders in. All your desires are for and from him, and he will tend to your garden as you tend to his kingdom. Bless you. Rick, can you stand up? Yep, big Rick. Yep. Lord highlighted your face, came across my screen many times this week. And the Lord wanted to remind you, and he said it wasn't new news, but it was a reminder of past knowledge. He sees you as a huge eucalyptus tree. He says, I saw you in a large paddock and there were other gum trees around, but you were the biggest one, the one with the birds in the branches, and you were planted by a deep flowing river. I researched eucalyptus trees and I felt the Lord said to remind you of this. Where is it? Eucalyptus trees are resilient. They're the fastest to recover. They actually give growth. They actually give birth through fire and flood, after a fire and flood. So they're the fastest, the most resilient. And that's a childlike quality. And there's you are a child of God. And there was this childlikeness in that. They also have the toughest leaves out of all the trees. And they have a capacity, they turn their leaves upward to soak in the sun and then they turn them to the side so they don't burn. So that the eucalypt is a tree that directs its leaves for the life source in it. And they have a scent that is sweet and the scent brings cleansing and it unblocks things. There's been a lot of eucalyptus in our house. Trying to unblock things. And so you are an unblocker. You are a flow. You are a tree. And you are a rest for the birds. And he said just to remind him. Call it back that story. Bless you. David. Where's David? David. You're in my movie as well. Yeah, if you're comfortable standing, that would be cool. This was a funny one. And as I was praying, I saw you and I asked the Lord, and he said, you're like a coconut tree. And I said, I can't say that. And he told me to do my research. And I was amazed what I found, David. He showed me this big coconut tree. And I don't know you, but I'm hoping, I pray that this really resonates and encourages you. Coconut tree is known as the tree of life, as it has many contributions to make. Every part of the coconut tree is surrendered and used. Every part of it is productive. It is life-giving in so many ways, from its obvious fruit, but also the sweetness of its offerings. David, God sees you as sweet. You also offer shelter. You are a safe place for folk to rest. The roots of a coconut palm are brightly coloured and no one sees them. But deep down, the roots are really bright colours, and when the coconut tree is uprooted, they use the roots to make dyes, to make things colourful. And he said, even your roots, your very centre, provides colour and beauty in his realm. Your leaves are used as a shelter, and in many cultures, your tree, who you are, is known as a symbol of rest and a symbol of health. God sees you as a person of rest, beauty, and health-giving. I bless you with that word, David. Take it to your heart and feed on it. There's some others, but they're not here today. That's kind of as easy and as simple as it is in terms of having a kingdom breakthrough, like having the kingdom of God. It's just ordinary. Like, you might not see movies, but if someone comes to your mind, it's don't ignore the whisper, don't ignore the invitation. Rick kept popping up in my head and I'm like, what? I better pay attention. And as I paid attention and sat with, there was more. And then I'm like, I was wrestling. And then he said, do your research. Find out. Be specific. God leads us in the specifics. Go back and ask for the blueprints. Not enough just to get the plan. You know, when kids, for the first 7 years of a kid's life, they live out of their imagination. For the rest of our lives, we start to live out of memory. Sometimes we forget. And we need to be reminded where we've come from and how we're known. And memory isn't just a place of memorial and a place of that was then, this is now. Memory is actually a map. It's the way forward. In the Old Testament, they talk about taking the stones from the river and building memorials so that future generations know where God met them. Our memories, our stories need to be told and retold. What is the story of YVV? What is the story for you yourself personally? Tim, where are you? Stand up, mate. This morning we were in worship and I disappeared up the back and the Lord highlighted you to me. So this one's not written out properly. I saw you with like a Superman cape on and the Lord said, he is faithful. Your spirit is huge. It's actually, he said, it's like it's bigger than this auditorium, like the building. It's massive, so it's kind of like squished into a body, but it's massive. And he's inviting you to step more into how you're known in heaven, into the bigness of that spirit, and to work from that bigness of spirit, to work to give from that. Don't box yourself into your own history and know that your history is longer than the history of the Aboriginal people in this nation because your history goes right back. You're known in heaven. So to live out of your identity of who you are in heaven and to live out of spirit. So every question, every decision, every part of leadership in your family, in your work, and the choices and everything that you do, do it out of the vastness of a spirit that is as big as this space. Because it's inside you. Trust, back yourself is what he's saying. Back yourself. I know what I've put in you and your inheritance is not just from your own generation, your own story, your own, I don't know how old you are, 40, 50 years or whatever, 30 years, I don't know. 30 years. Gabe, how old are you? Okay, let's go 40. but your story is bigger and your Heavenly Father is the Father and his blood flows through you. Thanks, bless you. All right. I've got a couple of stories I want to share as well. It's really messy today, so just stay with me, okay? I'm not messy as in bad, but just it's, you know, the posture of gleaning? You know, in Ruth in the Old Testament, she had to glean. She went along behind and found stuff. Put yourselves mentally, whatever you need to do to have a posture of gleaning, because it's not going to be, you're not going to be spoon fed because I don't know where we're going. Brenton, come on up. Okay, so we're just going to show you what it looks like to be a kingdom people individually and as a community. And ask Brenton to share a story about where the kingdom has been present in his life. He's got a few minutes and then I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, thanks, Dee. As I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking of what God had taught me recently. And for me, that was that the kingdom of God is around us more than we can sometimes realize. And that to understand that, we kind of have to change our outlook or perspective. We kind of have to flip that switch, so to speak. And so I've seen the kingdom of God, you know, through many different formats, through prayer, through prophecy, through the kindness and generosity of others. But a moment I wanted to focus on specifically was last year. Towards the end of last year, it was around September, and I had just finished school the year before, so I was in my first year of university. And so for me, that was a bit of a change going from a Christian school and a Christian environment to a university that was more secular and that didn't necessarily share those same values and beliefs. And so for me, I was feeling a bit isolated and in the minority with my faith. And it wasn't a huge deal. It wasn't the be-all and end-all, but it was kind of just there in the background and I could feel it. And so in September of 2018, there was a conference called Awakening Australia. I know a few of you guys went to it last year. It was an awesome, awesome time. And the conference was held in Marvel Stadium, which is Docklands in the city. And so all weekend, I got to see all these incredible people worshipping God. And I was just blown away. I could just feel the presence of God in this stadium and the connectedness amongst the other people in the crowd. And that was something I'd been lacking previously. I kind of felt like this journey was with me and God and Jesus. But maybe I lacked that support from other people around me, or so I thought. But seeing all these healings happening, all these people being saved, all these people worshipping God, I was really encouraged that I wasn't alone in this journey. And with this stadium filled with Christians, over 30,000 people in this stadium, I got a glimpse of what God's army looked like. And I was like, wow, God, this is so amazing. Over 30,000 people all love your kingdom, love you. And he said to me, this is just one city, Brenton. And so, yeah, I just got a real encouragement from that. And I want to encourage you as well, because sometimes we can feel like we're walking this journey alone, but we do have that support with others. There's other people who are walking alongside us. And so, yeah, not only do we have Jesus alongside us, but we have a community of Jesus followers. And after that conference, on the way back, the whole train ride back was about over an hour. There was a bunch of us from that conference, and we just sang worship songs the whole time. And there were other people in the train who hadn't gone and were probably very confused as to what was happening. But we didn't care. We were just singing our hearts out to Jesus. And I just felt so amazed that there was this community of Christians, of Jesus followers, that were just unashamedly spreading the kingdom of God into the world. And I just wanted to end as I was preparing this last night. I just felt God say to me, you know, imagine if we could fill a stadium with people from the Yarra Valley, a stadium full of people from the Yarra Valley. What would that look like? How incredible would that be? 30,000, 40,000, 50,000, however many, it doesn't really matter. But a stadium filled with people just from this area. Imagine what kind of change that could bring to our community and even just the community in Melbourne, in Victoria, in Australia. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, thanks. I love the Brenton said, yeah, we are. I love the Brenton said, can we imagine? We are to live out of, we use our memory as the map forward. Where God has met me, he will meet me again and more. We're also asked to, we're invited to walk out of our imagination. We can't walk into something we can't envision, we can't imagine. Can you come and we'll pray for you? Anyone want to come pray quickly? Is that what you wanted? Is that what you were suggesting? Yeah, we're praying for him? Yep, okay. Lord, just release more in the name of Jesus. Lord, the conviction you have in his heart. Oh, I can feel your heart beating. Lord, the appointment of God on this man. What he's witnessed and where he stood. And I speak life to every vision. I speak life to his words and his books. I speak life and favour on his study and on the pathways after his study, that there will be a full release of everything you've envisioned within him. Lord, that his spirit will rule and you will rule through him in every word, in every appointment, in every imagining, and he would back those imaginings and walk into them as you give him memory after memory after memory of the places where you have met him. Call to remembrance. And I release him into all that you have for him in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, guys. If you want to keep praying for him, do that. I'm going to keep going because I'm on an alarm. We all, when a face comes to us, when a name comes to us, the invitation is to remain for a little bit. That's the kingdom of God. When God says, think about, have a look at. And we go, yeah, that's great. I made a deal with the Lord many years ago when I was young and stupid, and it was the best thing I ever did. I said, there was two parts of it. The first part of it, they're going for it. The first part of it was, I'll let you be God and I'll be a human. I will let you be God and I'll be a human. I will stop making you in my image. Okay? So I have really low self-esteem, was really insecure, had dyslexia, had dropped out of school at 14. And any success that I had, anything I put my hand to that actually worked, I went, oh, I couldn't do it and I was scared of it and I'd step into it. And as soon as I stepped into it, it wasn't that hard. I did a course at uni, but it was drama, so it was the dumb people's course. So I graduated with this. I didn't even know it was a degree until second year. I didn't even know what I was studying until second year, but because I didn't apply for it. But I went to Melbourne University and I was doing a Bachelor of Education, which was a four-year degree, and in second year they said, can't you go on teaching rounds? I'm like, what for? I'm going to be an actor. And they're like, no, it's a teaching degree. And I went, oh, I don't do school. I don't do teaching. I hate school. That's my trauma place. No. So, but then I started to go, oh, well, big deal. It's only drama. It's not a really hard thing to do. Then I went back and did a postgraduate degree in counselling. Oh, big deal. It's all the soft and fluffy stuff. It's not, you know, it's not physics. Then I did a master's in spiritual direction theology. Oh, big deal. It's only spiritual direction. Now, I'm not boasting about the study because I didn't actually, these guys got the, they read all the books. They did all the bibliographies because I can't read very well. So Steve would read to me the study books every night. That very beautiful romantic pillow talk. But he would read and Senny would help me with bibliographies and how to write essays and all this sort of stuff. So God put people around me. I'm telling you the story because what happened was I would go, God, could I ever? Would I ever? Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, it's not that big a deal. And what the Lord said to me was, you are keeping me inside your perception of who I am. Rather than you entering into my perception of who I am, will you take sides with me against yourself and say, this is who you say I am? Take sides with Jesus. I started to understand that taking sides with God meant that that was a massive achievement to do a bachelor and then a grad dip and then a master's, you know? And that makes God bigger, not me just, oh, it's not that big a deal. So I would reduce stuff to my perception of what God was capable of. That's what I mean when I say, I'll just be the human and you be God and you be as big as you want to be. Take me outside of my perception. Take me outside of me. I just delivered some prophecies and I would never, ever have owned that I was prophetic. Ever. I'm an artist. Of course I am. Prophetic, but I would never have owned it. But in letting God be big and stop reducing him to our perception of who he is in us, with us and through us, that's the transformational space. At the moment he's been talking to me a lot about expectation. I've been doing a little bit of research. And expectation comes from a place, not expectancy, expectation. Often it can come from a place of entitlement. He's been saying to me, look at expectation and look at anticipation. Expectation comes from a place of entitlement. I expect you to do a certain thing and I want to know what you expect of me. And therefore, we put ourselves, before anything happens, we put ourselves in a posture of, you've got to meet my expectations, and oh my gosh, I've got to meet yours. If we shift from I'm entitled to something, I have a right to something, I expect something from you, and I know you're going to expect something from me, if we shift our posture and come over to anticipation, I anticipate having a great time with you. And you anticipate me bringing who I am to this, and me and you bringing who you are to this. And we will anticipate what's going to happen together. It comes from hope. It comes from hope. Still going. And I want to encourage you, if you have expectations, failed ones, disappointments, offences taken and judgments held, shift your posture over to anticipating differently, to anticipating the best in someone, to anticipating that every person you know is going to live out of and through Jesus' love. It sets you free. Okay. The other thing that I felt like the Lord wanted me to mention, I'm going to let you go for a minute. I'll ask Karen to come and share a story like Brenton as well, just to have some stories. So here's one.
I love it when the King of the Kingdom actually intercepts and intervenes. Intervenes, is that better? Okay, did you hear that first bit? I love it when the King of the Kingdom intervenes in a way that is clearly him. It takes all the questioning out. So I've actually got two stories. The first is taking a walk on 90 Mile Beach, East Gippsland, and a gentleman comes towards me and he has an umbrella, and I just open the conversation with, is it an umbrella or is it a walking stick? A completely innocuous question. And so we talked about the shells and the beach and the coastline and how glorious it is, and talked about the water and how still, how like a sea of glass, and yet sometimes the storms come and the wind comes and it's magnificent with the thunder and the lightning. And then just a general conversation. And then he takes it a step deeper and he starts telling me something about his life, which sometimes you can do with total strangers. And he said he was living up on the cliffside with his sister. And that was because he had walked in to his home one day and found his wife in bed with another man. And he said, I didn't say a word. I just walked over and went to the cupboard and got something out and said, get out, both of you, leave now. Now, he didn't actually use the gun, but I would imagine that they left pretty quickly. And I'm like, this is not a normal conversation. This is God. So he took the conversation to the next level, so I decided I could too. So I said, so how are you on the forgiveness stakes with that one? That's huge. So we had a conversation. We had talked about creation. We had talked about the Creator, as to whether he knew the Creator. So in the forgiveness conversation, we're saying, so actually that would open up the way for a relationship with the Creator. Amazing conversation. He left that day saying, I think I've got some things to think about. And I left that day saying, yay! God, that was so good. Yes. So that's for somebody who was outside the kingdom, didn't know Jesus, and looking in to what life could look like when you understand forgiveness and relationship with Jesus. The second story is for somebody who is in the kingdom, who loves the Lord Jesus, but was in the grips of a mental health condition. And it can be really, really dark. And I had journeyed for a long time with this person. And I love it when the King of the Kingdom intervenes in a way that you can clearly see that it's him. And he gave me a dream. And in the dream, it was a very simple, short dream, and it was simply me in my bedroom with the light coming from the window. And the words were, "The light is coming." And, you know, that's kind of not much, is it? And the person had been sharing my house. My room had become unavailable, so she'd moved to a friend's house. When I went into that bedroom for the first time, that I hadn't visited before, the exact physical representation in the room was what I had seen in my dream, with the person in the bed here and the window here with the light is coming. So that gave me confidence to speak out those words. Now, can you hear the prophetic in that? The light is coming. Can you hear the hope? And the person was able to really take that on board and for that to become a grounding thing. You know, the light is coming. It's not always going to be like this. The light is coming. Actually align themselves with the hope of those words. Now, whenever somebody is going through a mental health episode or whatever, there's so much more that goes on than just one dream and one statement. But that person, a couple of years later, is doing well. And at the time, it was a very simple thing, but I've asked permission whether I could share this homemade card that was sent to me. And you probably will recognise the language from Matthew 25, verses 35 to 36. Just listen to this. This is kingdom stuff. This is one person full of potential that God did something in. "I was hungry for love, and you held me in your arms and kissed me like a child. I was thirsty for the goodness of God, and you pointed me in his direction. I was a stranger back in my own country, and you welcomed me into your family and your church. I felt exposed, and you covered for me in conversations. I was sick, and you took me to the doctor. I was imprisoned inside my mind, and you visited me there and gave me hope that on the outside things could look different. These things you did for me, you did for Jesus." What a privilege to be available. What a privilege.
Thank you. I have a beautiful story on forgiveness from a child's perspective. And I'm wrestling because I want to deliver it, but I think I need to let it go and share it another day, another time, because I feel like we need to respond to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. So when you'd close your eyes, just ask the Lord to give you a picture of how he's seeing you today. How is he seeing you today? As you look into his eyes and you see a reflection back on yourself. How do you see us? How do you see me? Trust what comes. I want you to keep looking into his eyes. And see what he's looking at. When he lifts his eyes from your gaze and looks behind you. What is he looking at? Who is he looking at? Who is he highlighting Or what is he highlighting to you? Where is the Holy Spirit looking? Often we get lost because we look at another or we look at a situation. And we look at it not through the reflection of his eyes. So we take our eyes off him and look at the situation. The forever and consistent invitation of God is to look into his eyes and see what he's looking at through his eyes. Whether it's you, a loved one, a stranger, a neighbor. I want to invite you to ask him a question. Is there anything you want me to do or anything you want me to say? What is God inviting you to notice? Who is God inviting you to notice and to bring his kingdom, his rule, his perspective? Holy Spirit invites response. It's what he does. And I want to invite you to respond. It may have been something that was said. It may be a movement in your own heart through the worship, through the service.